Pauly Cohen is the name of my guest today, and he's in the studio with me here at Classical WMUK 89.9, and we're going to be listening to brand new music from The Centenary. It's the title of his self-written, self-performed, self-recorded, and self-produced album during an incredible pandemic year. I'm a little jealous of your accomplishments during, I am one of those people that managed to get some sourdough bread out of the oven, but I did nothing like produce an entire album. And as we'll learn, there were some challenges just to complete it because you had a health issue as well. So congratulations on this beautiful sounding album. We're going to take a listen to some tracks and welcome, Pauly.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kara. What a nice welcome. I appreciate you having me here.
I'm excited to share the music with our listeners. It's in the pop and rock area. This is an album that shows actually a lot of sides of sounds, that some of which make me a little nostalgic. I can kind of hear the time I grew up in, the 80s, in there. And I think that's very deliberate on your part. So why don't we start with the fact that when you sent information on the album, one of the little tidbits was you don't care for single tracks. Well, and I'm like, well, how are we going to do this interview?
We have to
do single tracks for the interview. But you prefer this go top to bottom and people hear it as an experience.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was an ambitious project, right? And so setting out to write a full-length album, and I made a bunch of rules for myself, which are pretty wild. And one of them was I wanted to make it be a seamless piece of music. And so through the whole album, you know, it's cut into 10 tracks, but every song has transitional music and motifs that take you between time signatures and keys. And
it's seamless when you just hit play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an hour and 1 minute, and there isn't a second of silence. So, you know, it was, and I think, you know, what I wrote to you is so much of our music today is served up by an algorithm on a streaming service. And so, you know, the idea of like peeling open an album and putting headphones on and just listening to it like you're a kid and you're, you know, a teenager coming back from the record store. I like the idea of kind of forcing people. There's no real natural break when you listen to the album to walk away. So trying to keep people engaged there.
Well, bringing back, you know, old school listening is something I could get behind, to be honest.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things that you wrote on your website, which is paulycohen.com, P-A, like Paul with an I-E,
yep.
Cohen, C-O-H-E-N.com. One of the interesting things is that you've actually struggled for a long time with like writing an original song.
Yeah.
So you did have to put these almost a game element to it in order to get yourself kickstarted.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think what I wrote is in the absence of being able to write a really lingering melody that I can just leverage a gimmick instead to get people to listen more than once. So yeah, I mean, I'm a musician. I play a lot of various instruments and I've always wanted to write and, you know, historically I just haven't had any luck. And, you know, the moon and stars kind of aligned over these past few months. And it just was, you know, again, I keep using the word ambitious because I made all these rules for myself, which I had no business doing because I didn't have any luck as a songwriter historically. So now I carved out this box that I have to fit into. But it was ultimately it ended up being pretty fun. And again, because there is some unifying elements that carry between track to track. And for those of you unfamiliar with the project, every track on the album is written from the perspective of various characters from 80s movies.
And that was what I was trying to get us to.
That's a mouthful, right? Like it's hard. I need a skyscraper for my elevator pitch is my joke, you know, because there's so much depth and complexity to what I did to myself here.
For those of you who love a puzzle, there's a whole layer of puzzling with The Centenary, which is currently available, released on May 7th, and it's an easy Bandcamp download, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find the link at paulycohen.com.
All right.
Which is where you can learn the full backstory on The Centenary. I alluded to some nostalgic sounds as well. And I would like to start with a song. I think it's track two. It's called I Want to Talk to You.
Yeah.
Did you say to me off air that this was one of the first?
This was the first song that I wrote. Yes. Yes. And it was, you know, because I had these rules and picked these movies, it was the first movie that really called out to me. And I found an additional rule that I have is that every chorus of these songs has to be a direct quote from the character in the movie. And so it was easy for me to find this quote. And it's a teenage breakup song. Hmm.
Is there a good chance that I've seen, you know, 8 out of 10 of the movies you're referencing?
I think so. Okay. But I intentionally made it difficult to guess. I didn't pick the easy giveaway lines. I picked kind of some more casual, some casual dialogue to try and turn into these choruses.
I'm hoping, listeners, you are intrigued by this story as we get started with Pauly Cohen and the new album, The Scenery. Here is track two, I Want to Talk to You.
Well, I want to talk to you. Sorry that things got out of hand last night, but if you talk to me, I'll make it right. I know it's hard to understand. You didn't go like I had planned. You bought your hand and took your hand. I heard you call him Dan. We've been together for so long. I need to tell you I was wrong. Remind you of when we were strong.
As we said, that's Pauly Cohen's new album, The Scenery. We heard I Want to Talk to You. And yes, all of these tracks merge into the next one. So that was an abrupt abrupt end.
Yeah, I had to warn you, like, oh, we're at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I want listeners to know also that you sang, played guitar, played keyboards, played bass, played electronic drums. The entire sound of the album and each specific song was built by you and your imagination. And I think it's a huge accomplishment. There's a real point of view in this record.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a little less diversity in it, attacking it that way. But, you know, with COVID and with everything else, you know, it was a choice I made because nobody else was really invited into my home.
Absolutely.
And so I just thought, well, here's a good
it's
excuse.
It's been a year of isolation.
Yeah.
So that's how it had to be done.
Yeah.
And we are about to hear another song that is a total different contrast, is big and open, kind of anthemic. So stick around and you'll hear a completely different approach on this album, The Scenery. And each song is from the point of view of an 80s movie character. That was the trick you used to get started. I love that idea. The composer Igor Stravinsky once, I believe, said he'd rather someone commissioned him for a piece for piccolo and tuba than just an open-ended do what you want.
Oh,
yeah. You know, you need an in.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the, you know, again, it's an hour and 1 minute, and I sing from Paulie's voice for like the last 2 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it was probably the most difficult 2 minutes of the record for me, you know, because it's a little emotional as well. It's a little love note at the end of the album.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the circumstances beyond the pandemic because, you know, you mentioned in your material, this had been a sort of a stop and start project for a long time.
Yeah.
But then the pandemic hit and you got a very scary diagnosis.
I did, yeah. It was, gosh, where do I even start? Late June, early July, I had some persistent abdominal pain that was talking to me a little bit differently. And I, you know, my PCP thought that we were looking at gallstones. And so I started going in for some different testing. And by early September, you know, through a series of, you know, an ultrasound and then a CT scan and then a biopsy, in early September, I found out that I had aggressive B-cell lymphoma. You know, so it was a cancer diagnosis in the middle of a pandemic, which obviously didn't seem like the most fair move, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I think what I had to do, and you know, part of what I write in my background story on the website is, you know, when I knew I had these masses in my body that weren't quite defined, you know, like prior to my biopsy, when I didn't know if I had something treatable or curable, I knew I had tumors, but I didn't know what they were. And that was a pretty scary time, you know, obviously, and I'm sure many listeners have experienced either first or secondhand, what it's like to wait. And, you know, I think that was the moment when I was in most like, why me mode, you know, I was weepy, I was scared, I had a lot of fear. And, when I got my diagnosis, you know, and I realized that it had a name and it had curative treatment and it had, you know, there was a lot in my favor, you know, and I realized they weren't going to name a disease after me. I think I had this like, okay, Paulie, you can handle this. And through that, it was really cool because, you know, I don't want to sound delusional because getting a cancer diagnosis isn't fun at all, but it gave me this real sense of presence that I hadn't had before. You know, like I think I was always charging ahead to the next thing or I was nostalgic for the last thing. And when I got my diagnosis, I kind of had this, you know, just this screeching focus on today. You know, like I'm not going to worry about if I sit to worry too much about what's going to happen or think too much about the things that I miss, you know, it didn't make me feel great, right? But if I just stayed in, it's, you know, it's Tuesday. and I'm going to, you know, my kids were home because the school wasn't open. You know, I had all these endless hours with my family. I had all these endless hours with my art, you know, and so really, you know, I mean, it's kind of silly that you need something, that I needed something like a cancer diagnosis to give me a little bit of artistic purpose in all of it. But it just became really important for me to start writing and to start, you know, I had this idea for this album and I know I'm not telling this in a very chronological order here, but, you know, I think 2015 is when I had the first idea of what I wanted to do for this album. And I tried starting it a couple times and it didn't work, you know, it just was completely dead on arrival. And then when COVID hit and people weren't allowed in my studio anymore, then I thought, well, this is a good excuse for me to, you know, this is, I've got all this gear, it's time to start writing. And then when my diagnosis happened, it just got strangely important for me, you know, like almost embarrassingly important. You know, of course I had a little bit of like my own legacy wrapped up in everything. And I got really fond of the idea that any of my friends, any of my family, my kids, my wife, my sister, my dad, my mom could pull me up and hang out with me anytime they wanted for, you know, 40 years from now, right? Mm-hmm. Like I could put in some work into a recorded medium that anybody could always hang out with me when they wanted. So I think that's the main reason that I wanted to wrap it up and finish it.
Was there an experience of just better clarity? Like, could you see things better? I had an experience, a medical experience many years ago now where I had to recover for much longer than I was supposed to. Mm. And it felt like I could see people's hearts better.
Yeah.
I met my husband during that time.
Oh, yeah. 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 I think absolutely, right? I think everything was a little heightened for me. And as I said a second ago, like if I wasn't too focused on what was going to happen next week or 2 months from now or 3 months from now, and I wasn't too wrapped up with what happened, you know, last week or the, you know, even further back, you know, when I just was in the day, you know, just made me really, really thirsty for more, right? You know, like the things I got to watch my kids do, you know, the meals we got to share, you know, and down recording, you know, in my basement, it probably took me 40 to 80 hours of trying before I got any songs that really started working.
Oh, wow.
Right. Like I just kept
going at it.
Well, I just kept bleeding out and I'd go down like, I need to record something. And, it took a lot of false starts, but as soon as I kind of rounded that corner, everything opened up for me, you know? So coming back to like focus and clarity, you know, like I think it took me a little bit of time to get that muscle working, you know, and get the takes I wanted. And, you know, and mind you, I was struggling with the effects of the chemotherapy through everything too. So, you know, everything was, all of it is a pretty out of body experience for me at this point.
So your album, The Centenary, was released May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Were you putting the finishing touches on it? Like right the week before? I mean, and how long was that treatment?
The type of chemo I had is called R-CHOP chemo. And so there was six sessions and they were all 3 weeks apart. So my first chemo was done here in Bronson Hospital on September 14th. And then my last treatment was done at the West Michigan Cancer Center on January 6th for that treatment. I'm still being monitored and I have another biopsy in 2 days, on Thursday. So, you know, I'm the, let me come back to your question. I think the last file that I really worked on and uploaded was around mid-February.
Okay.
So I had everything
pretty much wrapped up. A lot.
Yeah.
In the middle of treatment.
Yeah, I cranked it out. And, wow. You know, and there were a lot of nights I had no business even trying. You know, I went down there and felt like it was, well, one of the things that I was just telling you off air, with everything else going on with the pandemic, and I have two young children, nearly 6 and nearly 9-year-old. And we worked really hard to never say the word cancer in our home. And we just, you know, we talked to some professionals and we we felt like if we needed to say the word cancer, or if they saw Dad really ill, really sick, then it was, we would address that then and there, right? But in between, if there wasn't anything super obvious, we just felt like it was an additional layer we didn't have to introduce to them, right? They already were wondering why they weren't at school and why we weren't going over to Grandma and Grandpa's and why nobody's allowed in our house. And we thought that there was an additional layer that we could protect them from. And so for me, when I was feeling really crummy, and especially the first 48 hours after chemo, when you're really toxic as a human, and you know, you're advised to even use a different bathroom than everyone else and go into, I feel like I was kind of in this little protective bubble. And so I did a lot of my work on the album then, because it was a place, I don't know if I should use the word hide, but it was a place where I could go in the home where everybody wasn't put through what I was going through. Right. I could disappear in that sense. And so, you know, playing the guitar when you can hardly squeeze the fretboard and trying to sing when you have trouble talking, proved to be a little bit difficult. But I think that also kind of proved to develop my sound on the album. You know, like, I don't really do a lot of big belting vocals. A lot of the vocals are pretty gentle and pretty close to the mic. And it's because that's what I could pull off. You know, like that's what I had the gas for.
This is not a downer of an album, by the way.
No, it's not. No, am I being a downer?
No, oh, no. Okay. I'm just like, as you struggle through the production of it, it sounds like, you know, well, naturally you'd produce some sad music, but it's not.
No,
not at
all. And potentially the opposite, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's the fun of it. You know, I'm a pretty light and fun human, and I want this story to be about the lightness, not the darkness.
Pauly Cohen is my guest. He is a multi-talented musician, instrumentalist, singer, and album producer. The Scenery is the album name. It's at paulycohen.com, PAULIECOHEN.com, and you'll find links to the downloads. Is this coming out as a physical CD, by the way?
What I have found is that the one-man band process of the album wasn't the hard part. The one-man band promo team is really the hard part.
It is, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, trying to make the media connections and trying to talk, you know, it's really important to me to answer the texts and the messages and the emails. And, you know, like I'm excited that people are listening to it.
Well, and it's the most important thing, because you can't go out and tour this album.
Right.
This is it. Right. This is the product. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do. I'm planning on moving it up to the streaming services, so it will be available on iTunes and Spotify in the coming weeks. And then physical merch. I have. You know, there's been a lot of people asking for CDs, and I was thinking too, like, this is all based on 80s movies, so I'd like to get some cassettes made, and then, you know, some vinyl potentially as well. It really depends on, you know, it's hard, all that stuff. You know, what's been fun about this digital download world is that I haven't had any overhead. You know, I didn't rent a studio.
Right.
You know, the people who helped me get my album across the finish line all did it as favors and just did it to help me.
We're denying our listeners a chance to hear some more of
this. Oh yeah,
music.
Let's hear some more.
Tell me about Forgot to Call.
Forgot to Call. So this one was my full peek behind the curtain is when I wrote this song, I really had this feeling that the pulse was this really slow kind of 4/4 Gosh, what was I even going for? Maybe kind of like a Levon Helm. You know, I was looking for a little space and a little bit of air in it. And I probably got about three layers of instrumentation in before I realized, like, no, the pulse in this is 6/8, right?
I'm such a sucker for 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, 6. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of rock tunes that are written like this.
No. I put a fair amount of 6/8 on the record, which surprised me.
It stood out to me.
Yeah. But, you know, I would say I made a video for this that I'm going to release on Facebook this afternoon. And what I wrote in the caption was, you know, like, there's like a 40% chance that if anybody has written me back to say that they have a favorite track on the album, it's Forgot to Call.
another day from this to what's next. I feel the effects on the groove. I spread thin and scrambled, and most days I win, but margins of thinness I know. A smile changing tempo just shifts the whole song. Intentions go wrong, breaks the flow. My baby broken, struck from within. Cold, clammy skin, lying low. Started last night, feeling not right. Wonder should he have stayed home? And I am so sorry. And I just completely forgot to call. Seems wrong. I know he belongs lying low. Your increase in volume, a number erased. You call out for grace is a show. I can assure you what I share is true. I don't believe you in me. Where does this leave us? Your voice echoes when I stop to check in on the goal. Peek through the door. He shifts and he snores. Just like I thought, he's home lying. Just complete.